for his Redeemer and Lord. He said, he's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then he wrote again, the Lord hath made us, and not we ourselves. We're the sheep of his pasture. And here in John 10, our master chose that type to identify his work and his relationship with his people. He said in John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And I'll tell you, whatever type or symbol that our Lord uses to reveal himself and his relationship with his people and his work on their behalf, he always uses the definite article. He didn't say, I am a good shepherd. He said, I'm the good shepherd. If he's not my shepherd, I don't have one. I am the good shepherd. He said, I'm the door. There is no other door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. But there's not another door. I am the bread. They said Moses gave us the bread from heaven. He said, no, he didn't. Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. My Father gave you the bread from heaven. I'm the bread. He said, I'm the way. They said, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm thee. And he said, I'm the good shepherd. Meaning by that, holy shepherd, righteous shepherd, just shepherd, chief shepherd, great shepherd. He has no rival. But I believe that he's meaning something else here too. I'm a good shepherd. A good shepherd. Proof of it is the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's a good shepherd. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. I'm a good shepherd. Let's look at Isaiah 40 for just a moment. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9, where the Father speaks of this good shepherd. O Zion, church, that's the word for the church, true Israel, Isaiah 40, verse 9. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up now. Don't be afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He'll feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. That's a good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd loves his sheep. And proof of that love is John 10, verse 11. He gives his life for the sheep. Now then, if a man is a hireling, verse 12 and 13, if a man's hired to care for the sheep, they're not his. They're not his sheep. He doesn't love them. He's taking care of the sheep simply because someone is paying him to do so. And he says, if a man's a hireling and not the shepherd, who's owned the sheep or not? seeth the wolf cometh, and he'll leave the sheep. He cares for his own skin, his own welfare and well-being. He doesn't love the sheep. And he'll leave the sheep. And he'll flee. He'll flee from the wolf. He'll flee from the danger. He'll flee from the trial. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The wolf can't destroy the sheep. They're his sheep. But he can scatter them. He can divide them. He can cause them a lot of trouble. And he fleeth because he's a hireling. He doesn't care for the sheep. That's the problem. I'm the good shepherd. I love my sheep. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I give them all I have, my very life, he said, because I love them. But the hireling doesn't love them. And he says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. He repeats it again. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep. And they know me. What does this mean? I've looked at this. The word know has many meanings. People have used it to mean the word love. I'm the good shepherd. I love my sheep. And he does. I love my sheep. We'll get down to that in a minute. But this word here, I believe, carries about four meanings. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. First of all, I own them. They're mine. He calls them, I know my sheep. They're mine. He calls them my sheep. He calls the church my church. On this rock I'll build my church. He calls them my jewels when I make up my jewels. He calls them my brethren. He said, and the Father and the brethren which he gave me. My brethren. So I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep because I own them. They belong to me. And then secondly, these sheep are a gift from my Father. Look at verse 29. My Father gave them me. My Father gave them to me. And he's greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I know my sheep because these are the ones in the eternal councils of old whom the Father gave to me, made me their surety, put them on and in my hands to redeem. I own them. My Father gave them to me. And then thirdly, he calls them by name. I know them. I know their names. Abraham, get thee out of thy father's house. Matthew, follow me. James, John, fold up your nets. Come after me. I'll make you fishers of men. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I know them by name. Look back at verse 3, chapter 10. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. A person's name is important to them, precious to them. I'll tell you, you've got a great advantage if you can remember someone's name. Occasionally, I do remember somebody's name. Haven't seen them for a long time and go up to them and say, well, how are you, John? And they'll say, you remembered my name. You remembered. You ever had somebody do, you remembered my name. I know one of the children here in the church one day, I got a little confused and called the child by the wrong name, and she looked at her mom and said, he doesn't know my name. That's a shock. My pastor doesn't know my name. I did. I just got confused. But here it says, I know their names. I call them by name. Don't you ever think he'll forget your name. I know my sheep. I own them. They're mine. I know my sheep because my Father gave them to me. All that my Father giveth me will come to me. And him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I pray not for the world. I pray for those whom thou hast given me. Thine they were, and you gave them to me. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine. I know them. I call them by name. Our Lord said to the disciples when they came back from a missionary trip one day, and they were so astonished, they said, Lord, the devils are subject to us. We had such power that the devils, demons, were subject to us. You know what he said? He said, I truly say unto you, don't rejoice that the devils are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Your name. Isn't that something? Written in heaven. He knows your name. I'd rather be known in heaven than known in Washington, hadn't you? A lot of people think it's so big because they're known in Washington or New York. I ran into a fellow down at somewhere I was preaching not long ago, and he came to hear me. He was a wandering Jew. And he showed up in the service, and he said, so you're Henry May? I said, yes, sir. Unfortunately, that's who I am, you know. So you're Henry May? I said, yes, sir. He said, you know, I heard your name out in Dallas, Texas one time. He said, just think of that. They know you all the way out in Dallas. I'd rather be known in heaven than known in Dallas, hadn't you? That didn't impress me at all that they knew me in Dallas. Not a bit in this way. Did him. He said, think about it. I said, I will. Oh, they know you in Dallas. Mm. Who knows me? That's another problem, isn't it? Oh, my. He said, I know them by name. I call them by name. And then fourthly, he said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I've always known them. Never was a time I didn't know them. Never was an hour when they weren't on my heart, in my hands. Yeah, he said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness, I've loved you with a what? Everlasting love. He said about Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came out of your mother's womb, I knew you and called you by name. He said about the two boys in the womb of Rebecca, Jacob and Esau, wasn't that their mother? Rebecca, yeah. He said, Jacob, before the children were born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, it was said to her, Jacob, have I love. I will love. He didn't say, Jacob, I will love. He said, I have loved him. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And Jacob's one of those I have loved. Jacob, have I loved. Esau, have I hated. Not I'm going to hate him when he comes out of the womb and starts acting ugly. I hate him before he's ever born. That's what it says in Jacob, have I loved. Esau, have I hated. I know my sheep. I've always known them and always will. I know my sheep and they know me. They won't know me till I call them, but they'll know me. He knew me before I knew him. And that's how I know him, because he knew me. He loved me before I loved him, but that's why I love him. I love him because he first loved me. Herein is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and gave his life a propitiation for sin. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and I know them. And they know me. Now, verse 15 should be read in connection with verse 14. We ought not stop there. We ought to read verse 14, then read verse 15, because verse 15 shows the extent and the glory and the beauty and the awesomeness of this relationship and union between Christ and his sheep, the shepherd and the sheep. He said, listen, let's read them together. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine as the Father knows me. And as I know the Father, that's how I know my sheep. Think about that. That's how I love them. As the Father knows me, and as I know the Father, I know my sheep. The love, the knowledge, the union between Christ and his sheep is like that between the Father and the Son. I know that's hard to comprehend, but I can show you that again in John 17, if you care to look at it. John 17, verse 21, 22, and 23. This is that holy ground prayer, that sacred place and petition from the high priest. He says in verse 21 of John 17, that they all may be one as thou art, thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou given me, which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one as we're one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as you love me. You see why I say those, as the Father and the Son are one, Christ and the sheep are one. As the Father knows the Son and the Son knows the Father, Christ knows his sheep. And they know him. As the Father loves the Son, he loves his sheep. And verse 15 said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now there's some things I know and about which I have no doubt. A lot of things we do not know and about which we have great concern and conflict. But here are some things I know. Number one, the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, came into this world. In the fullness of time, he was made of a woman, made under the law to redeem somebody. I know that for a fact. Secondly, the God-man came to save sinners and to call out a people for his name. I know that. He came to save a people, and they're called sinners in the Bible. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. I've come to seek and to save. He was their representative. He's called the second Adam. The second Adam is the Lord from heaven. As in Adam we die, in Christ we live. They have borne the image of the earthly, shall bear the image of the heavenly. As our father Adam imputed and imparted to us guilt, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, imparted and imputed and reckoned to us holiness and righteousness. He had to fulfill all that God's law and justice required of us, that God may be just and justifier of those who believe. And he lived as a man, tried, tested in all points as those people were, yet without sin. He obeyed perfectly every jot and tittle of God's holy requirements. He died. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He died, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. He arose without sin unto salvation. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time,
because he ascended and seated at the right hand praying for somebody. Now, those things are true, beyond a shadow of a doubt. The question is, for whom did he do all this? Now, I know his sacrifice is not just an offer. It's called a gift. I know he didn't pay the debt partially. He said it's finished. It's finished, paid in full. I know his redemptive work was not just an attempt to redeem, because his scripture says he cannot fail. Well, he clearly defines those for whom he died. He said, in verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In verse 15, he said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. He died for the sheep. And he further defines it in verse 24. Now listen to this. John 10:24. And then the Jews came round about him, and they said to him, these religious fellows we've been talking about for several days, they said, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? Make us doubt. If you are the Christ, the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you didn't believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. My Father bore witness, the works, the scriptures. But you believe not. Now listen, and I'll tell you why you don't believe. Some do, but you don't, he said. And the reason you don't believe is because you're not of my sheep. That's why you don't believe. You see, as I said to you, my sheep, they know me. They hear my voice. And they follow me. And I give them, my sheep, not you, but my sheep, eternal life. And they'll never perish. And neither shall any man ever pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me. And he's greater than all. And you can't pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I lay down my life for the sheep. Sacrifice for the sheep. All this he did for the sheep. Now look at verse 16. And oh, how precious this is. He's talking about us in this verse. He's talking about you and me. And other sheep I have. He looked on these 12 disciples that were before him. And he says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Not of these disciples, not even of this nation. Other sheep I have. He told Abraham, he said, you'll have a seed. And he wasn't talking about the Jewish nation. He was talking about the seed Christ and the seed through Christ. We're children of Abraham by faith. We're sons of God by faith. And he said to Abraham, they'll be like the stars of the sky. That's a great host of people, isn't it? He said to Abraham, my people, your seed will be like the sands of the seashore. He told John on the Isle of Patmos, I have a people out of every tribe. You know how many tribes there are in this world? Every tribe, like families. Every kindred, every family. Every nation, every tongue on earth. I have a people. A number which no man could number. Now, and them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, how can you account for this when the Scripture says so often, many there be that call, few are chosen. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life, few there be that find it. Fear not, little flock. Scripture we read tonight before we came to church, to the service in here, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. I'll tell you how I account for it. Two scriptures. Turn to Numbers 14. I believe there'll be more people in heaven than there will be in hell. Not that more adults, morally responsible people, believe the gospel. Most of them don't. But I can tell you this, in the history of this world, from the time man fell to this present day, more people have died in childhood and infancy than ever grew up. That's a fact. Isn't that a fact? It's just true. I'm talking about every nation through the 6,000, 7,000 years of man's history. There were families in some of these places had 10 children and 8 of them be dead. One woman over here on the Blue Ridge Parkway, 19 children was she had, and they all died in infancy. 19 children. Not a one survived. And God said here in Numbers chapter 14, is that where I told you to turn, Numbers 14, when God told Moses to go take the promised land, they were outside the promised land in a place called Kadesh Barnea, something like that. He told them to go take the land, and they didn't do it. They appointed a committee, 12 men, to go and spy out the land, to see if they could take it. God didn't tell them to go see if they could take it. He said, go take it. But they appointed these men to go see if they could take it. And those men came back and said, the giants in that land, they're more than we are and bigger than we are. It's a wonderful land flowing with milk and honey and grapes so big that it takes two men to carry them on their shoulders. Can't do it. Only two men, Joshua and Caleb, said we can do it because God's with us. God told us we'd take the land. All right, the Lord said to them in Numbers 14:27, how long shall I bear with this evil generation which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you've spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. And everybody that was numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, except Caleb and Joshua. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in. And they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses will fall in the wilderness. I'll give comfort to anybody in this building or anybody to whom I preach who's ever had a child perish or a young person in your family, they'll be in glory. Our God's gracious. Every one of them. The old timers used to call them elect infants. They'll be born of the Spirit of God. You say, well, how are they going to be born again if they don't hear the gospel? John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Christ purchased them. There'll be a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven. That's what my Lord said. And I give you comfort
about, I have much better hope for those who have died in infancy than I do for most people who have grown up. The Lord's merciful. 2 Samuel 12, I'll tell you somebody in whom I have a lot of confidence who believed this besides me. David believed it. David believed it. He believed infants were in the hands of God mercifully. He didn't believe infants were in hell. In 2 Samuel 12, you remember David had a child who died just a few days after he was born. David prayed for the child. Prayed for the child. And the child died anyway. And 2 Samuel 12:19, David saw his servants whispered. You with me? 2 Samuel 12:19. David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he's dead. David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he had required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this you've done? You did fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, you did rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me and let the child live? But now he's dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back? I shall go to him. He'll not return to me. Where was David going? I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's where he expected to find that child. I'll go to him. That's David. If a fellow won't take the word of the pastor, take the word of God, David wrote that by the Spirit of God. So if David's child there, yours is there. That's right. God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't take one man's infant to glory and leave another. He took David's infant to glory by his grace, and he takes yours there and mine the same way. Right. Well, I've got to move on. Look at this verse 16 again. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must bring. I love this. Them. You know, when we read the Word of God so hurriedly, you miss so much. Them. 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 All of them. Whom he predestinated, them he justified. Whom he justified, them he called. Whom he called, them he glorified. Them whom thou hast given me. I pray for them that they may be with me where I am. Them I must. Oh, our Lord uses this word. I must be about my Father's business. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The Son of Man must be lifted up. He must rise from the dead. And now he said, other sheep I have, and I must bring them. And Luke gives us the meaning of that word bring. I must bring them. Bring them to God. He died the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. Them I shall bring, accepted in the Beloved, holy. He is able to present us holy without blame in his likeness. I'll bring them to glory. And he says they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Paul asks the question, is Christ divided? One of the clear signs to me that today's religion is false. One of the clear signs that today's religion is false is the division which marks it. Division. Even among people who are called grace people, division at odds. And Christ said,
Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there'll be one fold, one shepherd. There's hope that people who are divided will one day be united. But I'll tell you, when they come to Christ, they're united in one fold and one shepherd. Now let's look at these next two verses, and I'll let you go. You have to understand federal headship to really enter into this 17th verse. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. Now, as the eternal Son, he's loved with an eternal love, an infinite love. But he speaks here as our substitute. He speaks here as God's servant. He speaks here as a redeemer who came to do the Father's will. Listen, and the laying down of his life was the supreme act of obedience on our behalf. And he said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life. Philippians, let's look over there a moment. He's speaking, and this will help you so often when you're reading things that the Master said as the serpent, as the Messiah. He, like I told you before, he said, the works that I do are not my works. They are, he's God, but he's speaking as the Messiah. They're the works of him that sent me. He speaks as a man on a mission. And here he speaks that way. Now look at Philippians 2, verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and became in fashion, being in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even unto death. Wherefore, God exalted him. And let me tell you something. When he exalted him, he exalted us. When he accepted him, he accepted us. When he loved him, he loved us. And that's what he's saying here about the sheep. Therefore doth my Father love me, because as the obedient servant, and this is the supreme act of obedience, I lay down my life. No man takes my life from me. Verse 18. No man takes my life. He chose to be our surety. He chose to be our redeemer. He chose to come into the world. He chose the woman through which he would come. He chose the time he would come. He chose the death he would die. He chose the place where he would die. He chose the time when he would die. He chose the grave where he would lie. He chose the time when he would be raised. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This is the purpose, commandment, and will that I receive from my Father for my sheep. Now then, verse 19. There was a division because of these sayings. Many of them says he's got a devil. He's crazy. Others said, these are not the words of a devil. These are the words of the Lord. I want to be in that second group, don't you? These are the words of the Lord. Can a devil open blind eyes? All right, may God bless that to your to his glory, to your prophet.